good evening. Welcome all of you here that are in person, and for all of you that are attached through the computer or YouTube or Twitter or any of those other platforms. Those of you that are on the telephone also could call in. If you don't know what that number is and would like to do that through your phone, you can always call to the church office and they'll set you up with that number. We'll go through a few of the things here. We have Bible school coming up this week, and we want everybody to be aware of that. It's Bricker Rock Beach, and we'll have our kickoff on Saturday from 5 to 7, and then we'll start Monday. Is that right? We'll start Monday each evening with the Bible school, or yeah, Vacation Bible School, and we hope that we have great attendance with that and we can touch a heart. Also, those of you that would like to give an offering, there's a platform on the YouTube where you can go in on the right-hand side of the page and attach there and set that up where you can give online. Otherwise, you can come to the church office or drop it in here into the offering plate. Also, we're still doing the Who's Your One, and if you would like to get one of those cards and fill it out. You've probably heard the procedures for that, but when you fill that out, we'll detach part of it and stick it on the cross, and you'll keep the other part and go through some prayers for that individual over a 30-day period. So it's a great way to remind yourself to pray for some specific individual that's on your heart. Also, and I don't know a whole lot about this scan me stuff, but you see the chart about who's your one, and I don't know a whole lot about that Horseshack stuff that looks like the ink blots, but those of you that are functional on your computer can attach to that and scan me and become part of the church's specific Facebook page where the information about just our church will be on. I believe that's about it on that one. If you're attached online and you have little ones and you would like to get the bulletin and also the children's bulletins, they are also on the YouTube that you can download and give to your little one and let them be playing and filling that out. Okay. Before we go through our prayer list and get to our special pastor tonight with Brother Mark Puckett, let's go sing a song. And take your hymnals right now and turn to hymn number 122, and let's sing Tell Me the Story of Jesus. 122. Y'all stand.
Despise.
Thank y'all. That was a nice singing. Okay, as far as our prayer list tonight, take a look at that. Go through some of those on the HBC family. Carolyn and S.W. Stone, Mike Durham. And if you have any updates on any of those, just yell. Art Hargrove, Betsy Farrell, still recovering. And George Duncan has had some medical treatments and surgery. Okay, till July. Okay. Okay. Mark Raymond is still recovering from his some of his medical issues. Sandra Wells, Jewel Farrell, Bill Warren, Rick German is still on our list. Please continue to pray for him. Brian Tate still having some medical issues. Wade Hall, Jack Doubt. I was almost expecting him to be here tonight. Jack's from all updates we've had, he's doing good through rehab after his knee replacement. Jimmy Marlowe, continue to remember him, and David Hess. We were able to talk to Jim a few weeks ago to get an update on David. David's still going through his treatment for his cancer. Continue to pray for him. Continue to remember the family of Judy Stidham at her home going this past few weeks, and for the family after that. Also, Miss Linda Jones has been added, and you have an update.
She said that they decided not to do surgery, that they are going to monitor on a long-time basis there at the vascular clinic at Erlanger. She said Erlanger, and she's coming on tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, Miss Linda Jones, they decided that surgery wasn't necessary, and she's coming home tomorrow, but she's been referred to a vascular doctor, and will be going through seeing into that in the next few days and weeks. And her blood pressure is a big issue right now, and they're trying to get a handle on that. Just continue to pray for her. Okay, as far as friends and family, we'll highlight some of these. Calgary Mission Partnership, the people of Ukraine. Going down the list there. You've got Yvonne Ortiz, Kim Tucker, Wilburn Warren, which is Bill Warren's brother, I think. Linda Ray.
Still having blood pressure issues.
Okay.
I don't know what they're going to do.
And also Joanne Woodson's on the list, and she's still trudging on.
I think she's got 7 more treatments, if I've counted right.
Okay.
And then they'll see where she's at after that.
Seven more treatments for Miss Joanne. Kay Goff, which is friends of the Normans, with suffering from dementia. Becky Moffitt's daughter, Laura Hendricks, is going through cancer treatments. Madison Barnett, Ewan sarcoma cancer.
She's got 4 treatments left. She's doing well.
She's doing well. Okay. Val Kohler is on stage 4. That's Matt Kohler's aunt. Robert Kohler, which is, I guess, Matt's uncle. Jay Barbier, recovering from surgery. The Ray family, which is still part and friends of the Kohler family. Elise Flynn, still taking radiation treatments, and Get a Trap, which is Susan Solomon's mother. She's daycare. Okay, and remember those in a nursing home and assisted living, with like Ms. Mary Campbell at NHC, Peggy Eggleston at the Life Care Center, Ms. Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Janet Carter at MacArthur Manor, Sue Prince at Morning Point, Beverly Daniel at Manchester Rehab Center, Susie Barton also at Morning Point, Hoyt Farrell is Legacy Nursing Home in Manchester, and Christine Cranford is at NHC. Is there any that needs to be added to that list? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for your blessings, for the opportunity to be in your house, to hear your word, to praise you in song, to share prayer requests, and to just walk closer beside you. Lord, I pray that each of the individuals that's been mentioned in our prayer list, Lord, that in a very special way you touch them or their family, and just show yourself in a mighty way. Thank you for your power and your glory, and for even the freedoms that we have here tonight to meet. Lord, thank you for those here, those that are watching online, and we're just so thankful for our church and for all of our workers. Lord, I pray for Brother Jim as he is still taking time off, and we ask for traveling mercies for him. He'll be traveling back this way this week, and just thank you for him and his family and for the blessings that we receive through them. Lord, watch over them. Lord, we pray that you just be with us this night, touch us with your word again, and be with Brother Mark as he leads. We love you, in Christ's name, amen. Well, we are pleased to have Brother Mark Puckett with us tonight, and he is no stranger to us. Several years as the grand poobah of the... I just went blank after I said that.
Director
of missions. Now it's Brother Matt's job. But Brother Mark, is you've been preaching at First Baptist Church, haven't you? And holding the pulpit, or is it First? Or you just stand in everywhere, don't you?
Wherever I'm at.
Okay. All right. He's an active individual. He's also overseeing a lot of the mission trips that are to take place in the next this year and down the road. So, Brother Mark, we're so thankful that you're here tonight, and ask that you just lay on us what the words God has given you to do. And we appreciate you being here.
Well, Mike, if you're going to call me a grand poobah, you got to give me one of those fancy hats with a tassel on the side. Because I can only be a poobah if I have one of those hats. It is always good to be here, and Mike mentioned our Calgary missions while ago during the prayer time. I will ask you if you would be praying for two teams that are going to be going in July, and July 13 to 20, Dwayne and Ella Thames are part of a team of 15 that is going to be going that week, and then the week of July 27th, which goes to August 3rd, we'll have a second team from our association up there. So we appreciate your prayers in that. Calgary is the size of Nashville and is 95% lost. And it is a neat ministry opportunity that we have there, where what these teams are going to be doing is working with children of immigrants. And last summer when we did this, we had over 100 children, and I don't think any of them were what you would think of as native Canadian. They are literally from every corner of the world: Africa, East Asia, South Asia, Middle East, Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, Sikh, nothing at all. And a neat thing is a high percentage of the children, whoever brought them, their parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever it was, stayed, and they got to hear the gospel and everything that we were talking to the children about the whole time, too. So it's billed as a children's ministry, but it extends beyond that. So we appreciate your prayers for us in that coming in July. This morning, I'm going to confuse you because I'm going to start by talking about Christmas. It doesn't feel like Christmas outside, and we know it's not, but for a number of years, there's been a Christmas carol that has struck a chord with me. I've grown up with it my whole life. You're going to know it in just a second when I tell you the words. But the last few years, there's been a particular thing that has resonated with me about this. So tell me the name of this Christmas carol. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. What's the name of that? Hark the Herald Angels Sing. That's written by Charles Wesley, the brother of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. What intrigues me about that song is I would contend that there are words in that verse that I just read that the average person is not going to understand what it's talking about, and even a lot of people in churches are not going to understand what it's talking about. And so that's where I want to take us in the next few minutes, is thinking about some of the lines in that verse. And I'm not going to betray that yet, what I'm talking about. So we're going to start in Mark chapter 5, if you have your Bibles and want to turn there with me. And we're actually going to take several threads from different places in Scripture that individually would seem to have nothing to do with each other, but we're gonna hopefully weave them together in a way that I think is pretty neat in Scripture, and it'll also help us understand what Charles Wesley was talking about in this verse of the Christmas carol. So in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 25, there's a very well-known story. From the faces that I see here tonight, I'm going to guess that most of you have been around church a long time, and you've probably heard this story many times, but there may be some things that we weave together tonight that that may be new to you, or you haven't thought about it the same way before. So I'm going to start reading in verse 25. Of chapter 5 of Mark. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, "If I just touch his garments, I will get well." And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now, that story is also told by Matthew and Luke in their Gospels, but this one in Mark is a little bit longer than theirs. That's why I chose this one out of the three. But this woman is in a bad shape. She not only has a physical issue which causes her to lose blood, but it's been going on for 12 years. That's a long time. 12 days would be a long time, much less 12 years. And I know that you have no doubt heard discussed in relation to this, the passages of scripture from the Old Testament law about women and their cycle time and the issue that that causes. But Leviticus also talks about what if a woman has a discharge of blood that's not connected to the monthly cycle. So in Leviticus 15, you don't have to turn there unless you want to. It's Leviticus 15, 25 to 27, says, "Now if a woman has a discharge of her blood many days, not at the period of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond that period, all the days of her impure discharge, she shall continue as though in her menstrual impurity. She is unclean. Any bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge, shall be to her like her bed at menstruation. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean, like her uncleanness at that time. Likewise, whoever touches them shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening." So let's think about the ramifications of what Leviticus is saying there for this woman. The gospel said she had this discharge for 12 years on an ongoing basis. That doesn't mean necessarily every single day, but it was a regular thing, ongoing for 12 years. The passage in Leviticus says that when a woman is going through that kind of situation, that anything she touches is unclean, which the significance of that is anyone else who touches what she has touched is unclean. So the bed she lies in to sleep is unclean. The chair she sits on to rest is unclean. Anything else that she touches is unclean, which means that no one else can touch anything that she has touched at any time that she's unclean. So think about this over a 12-year period of time, and the stress and the strife and the emotional toil that that would take of dealing with that, because basically it would make you like a leper. Same kind of significance that a leper went through, being made a social outcast by the fact of their leprosy. No one could be around them, no one could touch them or touch anything that they touched. Same circumstance for a woman in this kind of position. So she would have been ritually unclean. She couldn't go to the synagogue to worship. She couldn't go to the temple to worship. She couldn't participate in any of the feasts or the holidays. If she had been married, she could not have had marital relations. If she had not been married, she couldn't get married or have children. She would have been a social outcast. Mark tells us that she had exhausted all her resources. It had financially bankrupted her. And not only did she suffer physically, but she suffered psychologically and emotionally. This woman is in a bad way. as she hatched her plan, as she heard about Jesus coming her way, and she knew of him and of the things that he was doing, of the people that he was healing, and she wanted to be a part of that. There was a further complication, because even if she could get access to him, and even if she could touch him, her act of touching Jesus would make him unclean, which means that she should not be trying to do this according to Jewish law. Now, I'm not saying Jesus felt that way about the situation. I'm saying according to Jewish law, she should not be trying to do this. So, this is one strand of the tapestry that I want to weave together in the next few minutes. Now we're going to look at what seems to be a totally different thought from the book of Numbers. And in Numbers 15, verses 37 to 40, the Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassels of each corner a cord of blue. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, so that you may remember to do all the commandments and be holy to your God." Now, let me ask my tech friend up there, do you have some slides for me? Okay, you should have a slide of a guy sitting in an airplane. Do you see that? Okay. I don't know in this light at your distance how well you can see that circle that I have in that picture, but this is on one of my trips to Israel on the flight between Newark and Tel Aviv. We hit a time on the flight when the Jews pray. And when we got to that time, there were a bunch of Orthodox Jews on this flight, and they all got up out of their seats and started dressing themselves with various prayer paraphernalia. And this is one of them. And so you can see he's got a prayer shawl on there. He has some other accoutrements that I won't go into. But circle there, hanging off the edge of his seat, can you tell that there's a strand hanging off of his prayer shawl? That is a tassel that's on the corner of his prayer shawl. That is what this passage is talking about in Numbers. This is something that observant Jews still do today, is they have prayer shawls, and they put these tassels on each of the four corners of their prayer shawl. Now, this is an interesting picture that Scripture is painting as a reminder to God's people of some things. I don't know about you, but as I've gotten older, my rememberer is not as good as it used to be. And it seems to be ever more frequent that Linda will say to me, you haven't done such and such. And I will say to her, out of sight, out of mind. And I literally mean that, because if something gets put to the side and out of sight, I will forget whatever it is that needs to be done regarding that item. And she was saying that just 2 or 3 days ago about something that got put away that I was supposed to deal with. And I haven't seen that for a couple of weeks, and I haven't thought about it for a couple of weeks. So in this passage in Numbers, what we're about to talk about is God giving instructions to his people that they would be visually reminded on a daily basis through these tassels on these prayer shawls. So the first thing that I think is interesting is this word right here. And this word is tzitzit. I know that you may have it up there on the screen for those who are here, but I think those who might be watching by video may not be able to see that screen. So that's why I'm doing this card. So this is for the benefit of our video viewers. So tzitzit is the Hebrew word for tassel. And I'm not sharing this with you to impress you with knowledge of Hebrew, because I don't have knowledge of Hebrew without somebody telling me about it. But this word is interesting because in ancient Hebrew, they did not have numbers. They only had letters. Modern Hebrew has adapted the use of our Aramaic numbers. But back then, they did not have things that would have been called numbers. So how did they represent values? Every number had a numeric equivalent. So when you looked at numbers, at letters, you had to tell by the context whether those letters represented a word or whether those letters represented a number value. If you take the number equivalent value of the letters in tzitzit, the word for tassel, they add up to 600. 600 even is what these letters add up to in the ancient Hebrew use of these letters. So when they made these tassels, they used 8 strands of thread to weave together into the tassel. And as they wove the length of the tassel, along the way down the tassel, they put 5 knots into the tassel. So those 8 strands of thread at 5 different points down the length were tied up into a knot and then continued on a little further, tie another knot, et cetera, 5 times. If you take the word tzitzit and its numeric equivalent, which is 600, add in the number 8 for the 8 strands of thread, and add in the 5 knots in the length of the tassel, Mike, you're an engineer, what does that add up to? 613 is what that adds up to. Now, here's your pop quiz question. Can you think of a significant biblical thing that the number 613 would represent. Something from Scripture. Anybody have a guess on that? There are 613 commandments in the Old Testament law. So if you think it's hard to keep the Ten Commandments, try keeping 613. That's how many commandments were in the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. Okay? So our passage in Numbers says, what is the purpose of the tassel? In verse 39, it said, it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow your own heart and your own eyes. So I'm not just making weird stuff up with these numbers here, okay? This was the purpose of the tassels on the prayer shawl, was to represent the 613 commandments and to be a visual reminder each and every day that every time you saw that prayer shawl and every time you went to pray, you were to be reminded of the 613 laws that God had given Moses for his people to obey. So, just like they wove those strands together in that tassel, like I said, we're weaving together our own little strand here tonight in these few minutes. So we've got the strand of the issue of blood and how that affects a person and Our Lady seeking healing from Jesus. We've got the strand of the tassel on the prayer shawl and the reminder that is of the 613 commandments. And now we're going to go to the book of Malachi for again what would by itself seem to be a totally unrelated thought. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Malachi 4, 2. When you were in Matthew a while ago, Mark, I should have told you to stick your finger there because you'd be close to Malachi. At the very end of the Old Testament, Malachi 4, 2 says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." Now that verse all by itself seems a little odd. What is the Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness? What is that? What is healing in its wings? What is that? But before I forget it, let me remind you of where we started with Hark the Herald. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son, but for Wesley it was S-O-N. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Wesley is talking about Malachi 4:2 in the Christmas Carol. So let's unpack this verse in Malachi. The word in Hebrew for wings is this word right here. It's kanaf. Kanaf, that's the word for wings. Same word is used in Genesis 1:21 when we have the account of creation, and in that verse is talking about God creating all the flying things to describe these creatures that fly. The Hebrew uses the word kanaf. Very different kind of picture, but same line of thought in Isaiah 6:2. You remember when Isaiah sees the heavenly throne room and he sees the seraphim flying and he describes them, what's their outstanding feature? Six wings on each one. This is the word that Isaiah uses to describe the flying seraphim and their six wings. They were covered with kanaf, with wings. So again, what is Malachi getting at here when he talks about healing in the wings? Well, interestingly enough, Hebrew, like English, can sometimes be a confusing language. I was noticing something on the TV screen just last night, and I knew in the context, the word on the screen was saying resume. But depending upon the context, what could those same letters be referring to? Resume. Resume and resume, which have nothing to do with each other, are spelled the same. Well, in Hebrew, the same word, kanaf, for wings, can also mean corner. Corner. You have to know or have to figure out based on the context which this word means when you see it in Hebrew. Is this referring to wings or is it referring to corner? Okay. So in 1 Samuel, when Saul was fighting the Philistines and he was waiting on Samuel to show up to offer a sacrifice to bless the battle, Saul got impatient, got tired of waiting on Samuel to arrive. When Samuel got there, Samuel was upset with Saul and told Saul that God was going to take the kingdom away from him. And Samuel spun around to leave. Saul reached out to stop him, grabbed hold of his cloak, and it says, as Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. Hem there, H-E-M, is kanaf. So we've seen some other examples where kanaf is used about wings. We see an example here where kanaf is used about corner. What is Malachi getting at in 4:2? Well, this woman who came to Jesus hoping to touch the hem of his garment, she was not unique in what she was trying to do, because apparently the understanding of Malachi that we're pursuing was understood by a lot of the folks in their day. And Matthew 14, 35 and 36 says, people brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. I did not say earlier that these shawls were not just put on for prayer, they were worn all the time. In our modern society, with modern dress, they're just put on for prayer. Like the guy on the plane that I showed you. Okay? So, this woman who wanted to touch Jesus, hem of his garment, was not the only one who was trying to do this. Matthew 14, as we just read, there were other folks trying to do it as well. The uniqueness of her situation was her dire straits. And she was one who Jesus singled out in response to that. So, back to Malachi. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its kanaf. In its kanaf. So what is the meaning in the context of the verse? Is it wings or is it corner? Son of Righteousness, let's think about that part of the verse. And it's S-U-N in Malachi, not S-O-N. But, oh, as they say on the infomercials, but wait, there's more. Isaiah 9:2. Says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. In Luke 1, 78 and 79, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, has this as part of his prayer once he regains his speech. You remember, he lost his speech for questioning Gabriel. Zechariah says, and you, my child, talking about John the Baptist, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way before him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun, S-U-N, by which the rising sun will come to us. He's quoting here from Malachi 4:2. The rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness. He's quoting there Isaiah 9:2. The rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So Zechariah, there in that last sentence, quotes both Malachi 4:2 and Isaiah 9:2, talking about light and sun. Now, Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. Now, when we see in the Old Testament the talk about David's family line and the righteous branch, we know what that's talking about, right? It's always talking about Jesus, both those things. The days are coming when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our, you know it, righteousness. David's branch that will come and redeem Israel, his name will be called the Lord our righteousness. And then finally, John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So let's go back to Malachi 4:2. For you who fear my name, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, will rise with healing in its wings. The S-O-N of David will be the S-U-N that brings light and life. Light to shine in darkness, light to show the lost the way. And the S-O-N of David, the righteous branch, will shine like the sun of righteousness that will bear in his person healing through his wings. What were his wings? The wings were the corners, the tassels on his garment. So, I came with my auto harp to play a song for you. For those watching on video, that's an inside joke. You had to be here. In Israel, in the town of Magdala, Magdala is the home of, who do you think? Mary Magdalene. In the town of Magdala today, there is a church, and when I say basement, basement has a negative connotation. Basement sounds dingy and dirty and musty, but there's a beautiful basement in this church, and they have a huge mural that would be as big as from here to the far edge of the stage over there, and this high, so this huge mural. And do you have that picture that you can show our folks? And I'm going to show this to our folks online. This mural is of, you see the hand? At the hem of the garment? Reaching out to touch the wings. Corner of the garment. The last time I was here, I asked our guide, I said, did you still call the tassels on the garment wings? He said, yeah, we still call it wings. So. When Our Lady in the Gospels came to Jesus and was reaching out her hand to touch his wings, to touch the tassels, to touch the hem of his garment. That act was also an act of her confessing that she believed that he was the Son of Righteousness. And it was an act of her confessing that she believed that he was the Messiah, and that she believed that he could heal her. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Might we have that kind of faith as well? Let's pray. Father, I stand amazed sometimes at the beauty of your word, the complexity of your word, the imagery that it portrays for us, of the intricacies of how we see you working together in the course of time, through your people and for your people. And for your desire to draw us to yourself and to heal us. To heal us physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. Lord, for each one here right now in this room, and for anyone who may ever watch this video, not only who might be watching right now, but ever in the days ahead, for anyone who needs any form of healing, Lord, I pray for them that they will have faith to trust in you and believe that you are the Son of Righteousness and that you do have healing in your wings. Lord, we thank you for that promise. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. Good to be with you.